The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 3rd chapter. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. John would have prevented him, we hear. Why was John so offended when the Lamb of God, come to take away the sin of the world, showed up that day for baptism? Well, the answer is because missing was all that John thought and hoped the Savior would bring. Remember John's sermons? He set the tone by calling people vipers before making it clear that he was mad that they had been warned to flee from God's wrath. An axe already laid at the root of unproductive trees, a winnowing fork separating wheat from chaff, him throwing the sinful and ungodly into unquenchable fire. These are the images John used to portray the coming Savior. John was ecstatic that the Savior would bring the law down and sinners would finally get what they had coming to them. Sinners would get exactly what they deserved. But none of that was brought by the Savior. What John believed about the law was also affirmed by Jesus, to be sure. Sinners do deserve death and hell. Still, John was now hearing that salvation was not what he thought, that is, according to the law. The Lamb of God taking away the sin of the world was not a program of obliterating sinful people with the law until all the sin was gone. That is not taking away the sin of the world. Instead, God's salvation was to give mercy to the undeserving. God's salvation was compassion instead of condemnation, so gentle that he wouldn't even break a bruised reed or snuff a smoldering wick, just as we heard Isaiah preach in our first reading for today. But Jesus' bringing mercy over justice was but the tip of the iceberg for John. You see, John was baptizing genuine, dirt between the toes sinners. There was no baptism for nice guys and gals, no symbolic baptism used by the super spiritual to set an example for others. Sinners, only sinners, as far as the eye could see, were bobbing around out there in the River Jordan. The conclusion is inevitable. If Jesus was baptized by John, that could only mean that Jesus was a sinner. And with that, John was beginning to hear how the Lamb of God would take away the sin of the world. And though Jesus had no sin of his own, we must be clear about that, he was going to take the sin of the world into himself until it belonged only to him. Now, what is sin? Ultimately, it is unfaith. It is not trusting God. And the result is either self-righteousness or lawless rebellion, both of which are simply a matter of taste. Some people piously trust themselves and their morality and religion for their salvation. Others selfishly live for themselves, unconcerned about any kind of salvation. But both types of sinners are self-absorbed, with no trust of God and love for others. And so how was Jesus going to take this sin? Well, the answer is by wading right into the middle of it, literally. He wouldn't keep his hands clean by avoiding sinners. He wouldn't perch himself on a mountain or in a temple and demand that people come to him and repent. No. Jesus went among sinners, preaching that God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and it didn't go well for him either. The self-righteous sinners were angry because God was being unfair. The self-absorbed sinners could not have cared less about this Jesus and the salvation he brought. And the result is Jesus suffered. He suffered at the hands of sinners who only trusted themselves. He was questioned, ridiculed, ignored, dismissed, even murdered. But he kept on preaching. And the more he preached, the worse the suffering. But he just wouldn't shut up. Like a sheep before shears, he just took all that sinners in their faithlessness could dish out until God was dead and their hatred and their rebellion was exhausted. He just took it until there was nothing else sinners could do to him. That is how Jesus took the sin of the world. And John saw this coming. He saw it when Jesus was in that river for baptism, numbered among sinners, and that's why John was offended. But perhaps John held out some hope that perhaps Jesus was mistaken. Maybe Jesus just got this wrong. But the coup de grace, the grace stroke for John came when Jesus came up from the baptismal waters and the Holy Trinity sang in unison, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," the Father said as the Spirit descended upon Jesus, all three in unison. Said another way, Jesus in the river, numbered among sinners, preaching God's mercy and grace and suffering for it all, is what God wants. So, we come to the heart of the matter. Just like at the River Jordan, there is no one here deserving of God's mercy and grace. But what of it? Jesus Christ has taken your mistrust and your apathy, all of it, past, present, future. And that's why I say to you that you are forgiven unconditionally by the Father for Christ's sake. You are now God's beloved, with whom he is well pleased. And all because of Jesus Christ is for you. Amen.